All right, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Super Freak. Really excited to talk about this. This is dedicated to the mechanics of why we repeat patterns. I call this recursion rebound, a little bit more of an advanced idea around what all of this is. But if you've been following this podcast for a while, you can see the evolution of how all of these ideas stack on top of each other, right? Everything kind of builds, one thing goes to the next, and information continues to distill, and get more clarified as you begin to embody more of this knowledge. So in this episode, I'm going to talk in depth. This is going to be more of an advanced lecture, okay? So just prepare yourself for that. Let the wave of the information just kind of move through you, kind of hit your field and see how you feel about all of that. So it is the mechanics of recursion rebound. And I'm going to back up and talk a little bit about what recursion is. Essentially, it's how we repeat patterns, said more simply, why we continue to repeat patterns. And I'm going to connect that to emotions. And I'm also going to talk about the levels of embodiment. Okay, so recursion levels of embodiment is what I'm calling it. And there are very specific levels to which we experience embodied information. So your innate and perpetual intelligence is basically your highest self that is stationed at various stations of consciousness. Your ability to be able to connect with said intelligence and hold that level of connection to it within the body in form is how you create a big infinity loop with time and space. You transcend the physicality or the limitation of time itself by living more from the timeless intelligence of your highest self. Okay, so backing up, going to, again, talk about the mechanics of recursion. I'm going to talk about the recursion levels of embodiment, answer a couple of questions that came in regarding this from one of the Sovereign System mentorship clients that I have, which is just such a fantastic way to grow, you guys. Very, very, very few people are ready for this level of change. And those of you who are really coming online and coming into your abilities and creating your own system, for me to be able to witness you become your own signal in a world of fucking new age noise is an absolute and complete and total honor. So let's see. What else will I talk about? I will talk about healing as a recursive structure and trauma as a fractured recursion. Don't worry about these fancy ways of how I say things, but this is just the concept of first principle. I distill it the best I can, and then I'm, you know, present it to you guys to do with it what you will. So let the waves and the information of the frequencies that I'm generating in this podcast move through your field and shift and reorganize you. So with that said, let's get started. First and foremost, thank you all for continuing to listen to this podcast and leave amazing reviews. It helps the podcast a lot. We are a very, very small and mighty team here trying to get this content out into the world in a collective consciousness that is deeply, deeply trying to reorganize itself. It is extremely early. You guys are going to find that this work is ahead of its time and that everyone is coming online and advancing consciousness to the best of their ability. And the fastest way that you can be of service, because I get this quite often, is everybody wants to know their purpose and everyone wants to be of service. The fastest way that you can do that is to maintain your own level of resonance, to maintain your level of stability, and be conscious in your day-to-day life. Holding your field and holding your resonance as a coherent, awakening individual, okay, consciousness on this planet is the fastest way that you can be of service. You become and you be, you do not do, right? I created Super Freak out of thin air. It came through me as an idea. It was like, it's time for you to share what you know. And let's go. And I just did that. I just created it because before I was even in the field of co-creation, before I even really had a handle on all of this stuff, there was a level of information and a body of knowledge that I knew I could share at that time. And we have been unfolding and I have been unfolding and dying and recalibrating and repixelating and reorganizing myself and more and more and more all the time every day. And so we're in this together. And when I get information that's new and advanced, I'm going to share it. and I'm going to do my best to also maintain and distill information at a very entry-level place, which is still a very high frequency, and then keep you guys pacing with more advanced knowledge. So the mechanics of recursion rebound. First of all, what is recursion? Recursion is a fancy way of saying repetition. Recursion is quite literally because we live in a fractal holographic self-replicating system, which is what this reality is predicated on. Everything is binary code. You've heard me talk about this all the time. These sequences are all playing out based on historical epigenetic information, the universe's history, and what this point of time, this cohort of collective of embodiment in this planet right now is thinking, doing, perceiving, and working on. So all of that information informs the operating system that is being expressed inside of this matrix. Okay. So recursion is repetition. And we repeat what we don't complete. The body is replaying a quantum script until we delete and complete recursion. Okay. So in quantum psychosomatic work, the concept of recursion rebound, which is what I call it, or recursive rubber banding, describes essentially how the body-mind system replays and recodes stress response in a loop, like a fractal ecto, echo of past trauma resurfacing in present time reactions. So let me say that again. Recursion rebound describes how the body-mind system replays and recodes stress responses in a loop. Okay? It's a fractal echo of past trauma resurfacing in present time reactions. So to put this in a sequence for you guys to kind of track and understand, let's get started. So the first part of the mechanics of recursion rebound, which again is just replays and recodes of stress responses in a loop, is loop mechanism. So there's a stress impact that leads to a trigger that leads to usually an emotion, right? Feeling an emotion, which I talk at length about in the book. Your emotion is accommodating the underlining program that is running. It is a barometer to be able to identify the distortions within your own field. Okay. So you have stress, you have this big trigger, you move into this emotional response. At that point, you have the opportunity to do a recursive recall. So you have this emotion and feeling. Usually we are having that emotion and feeling because it's predicated on previous experiences. So when we recall how we should respond to an emotion or feeling that we have, it reinforces the pattern. So let's say this, you have a past stressor, emotional, physical trauma, okay? It creates a biochemical and a neural imprint, cortisol spikes, amygdala activations, etc. It's parts of the brain responding to things. When a similar trigger occurs, the body rubber bands or rebounds back to the original stress state, not just mentally, but somatically. So muscle tension, breath restriction, hormonal cascades, panic, fear, you name it. Each recurrence deepens the groove of the neural pathway, making the rebound faster and more automatic. So when I talk about confirming delete the pattern, this is what contrary action does. You don't want to run that same recursion. So you have to physically do the opposite of what that is to confirm delete that pattern. And it's tough because you're quite literally fighting what the brain wants to hold on to, which is these deep groove neural pathway experiences, because that's going to lead to a safer outcome. Remember, the brain is not a creative producer. It's a quantum processor. It's going to do whatever it can do to keep you safe. It thinks it's acting on your best interest. It is not. It just needs some help understanding change. So the second part of this, let's say the mechanics of recursion rebound, is the quantum aspect. So the nonlinear time entanglement. You guys have heard me talk about nonlinear locality, non-locality, quantum entanglement. You know, as a little recap, you guys can look into the book for that, but I'm going to talk about specifically the quantum aspect. You have two particles, they're not related. When they're connected, one behaves very peculiar, and through observation, information can reorganize itself and move itself into a different probability or possibility. You are non-local awareness operating inside of a time-bound experience. This is the body. So trauma isn't stored as a memory, but as a live resonant frequency in the body's quantum field. So this is all science-based, okay? So when I talk about the quantum aspect of nonlinear time entanglement, this is what I'm talking about. So the nervous system doesn't distinguish between past stress and present trigger. It responds as if the threat is currently happening, hence recursion, because it doesn't understand time, right? So trauma is an epigenetic record. It is a DNA quantum epigenetic record that the brain recalls and then creates predictions for. This is why closing recursion over and over and over again and honing in on patterns and moving into the observer around patterns and getting curious about the underlying program is the key to moving into faster levels of coherence. So this sequence of trauma not being formed, trauma not being stored as memory, but as a live resonant frequency in the body's field into the nervous system not being able to distinguish the difference, creates a closed time loop in your psychosomatic field where the body reenacts the past as if it's the present. So how many times have I worked with you guys in sessions and I have deleted the imprintation of when some kind of abuse happened? So I can't actually delete the structure of the actual physical event, but I can delete the imprintation and the quantum effects of how that influenced your psychosomatic field and have that new information reorganize itself into present time, hence nonlinear time engagement. Just wind that back and re-listen to it again. So how does this create a rubber band effect, which is this third kind of step in the mechanics of recursion rebound? So there's a tension phase, okay? So there's stress response activates a fight, flight, freeze response, or FAWN. Okay, there's a release attempt. The mind tries to move on, but the body remains stuck in a loop. And then there's this kind of snap back rubber band rebound effect of unprocessed somatic rubber band energy, essentially, or somatic energy that rubber bands back to the original stress state, which amplifies the intensity of it. So that's why we have to learn things over and over and over again. And when we don't get the subtle nudge, we're going to get beat over the head, like hit by a car or hit by a truck, right? It's like I had a mentor one time tell me it was feather brick truck. Like you'll get a subtle nudge about the pattern and then you'll get a brick thrown at you. And if that doesn't work, you're going to get hit by a truck until you actually understand what the hell is happening. This is why I say you have to face yourself in this life. Eventually you will face yourself if you can't over and over and over and over and over again. And people who have the ability to be able to face themselves, which is a big part of what frequency quantum psychosomatic work is, you meet yourself with love. The faster you can do that, you will transcend everything. You'll transcend the illusion of this reality. You'll transcend the reincarnation trap. And you live from a completely wildly different state of consciousness. And I just can tell you that because I'm living it. And I have actual experience. And the feedback is overwhelming. And I wouldn't be able to guide people as into becoming their own field or signals if I hadn't gone through it myself. So the moment we can get into this process of getting, of recognizing patterns, getting curious about the emotions that they're accommodating, whatever distortions are in our field, and then move into the deprogramming process, understanding the mechanics of how this reality works and kind of cycling through this deprogramming process, we are remastering our fields all the time. We reorganize that information. So this is, again, why in meditations, at least where we are now with this level of super freak cohort and people who are listening to this work and finding this work, even if you listen to the meditations and I never speak to you, you're already starting to shift. You're already starting to feel a difference, because when you can create enough spiritual mass and torque, which I will talk about either in another podcast if I don't talk about it in this one, you can create and catalyze a tremendous amount of momentum. And this is why it's very rare when you really start moving into this work, it gets very lonely. You can feel it's lonely in the front kind of thing, right? Because you feel undeniable peace in your system and you have to sit with yourself really in the fire of who you are, which very few people are very few people can do over and over and over again, but it is wildly, wildly worth it. So unprocessed somatic energy rubber bands back to the original stress state. And I will also do, this was the big completion of the thought that I had, in group work where I will have you time reference things that have happened in certain age frames, 1 to 5, 5 to 13, 13 to 25, et cetera. Most of us have all experienced distorted imprintation in our first 8 years. You guys have heard me talk about this before as well. Infants have a very specific protocol when they are downloading and scanning information. By the time they're 5 years old, they have a first hard code writing in their software system. Hard coding happens at 5, 13, and then another one at 25. So who these kids are going to be in their teenage years is who they're going to be. So big fragments, at least in my life, happened throughout those all of those different benchmarks in every single decade. So I've had to, I really understand deep state deprogramming and remastering around recursion and rubber band patterns. But I didn't know this. Okay. No one talked to me about this in this way back then, 13 years ago. I was like, man, what the hell? Like, I just need someone to tell me what's actually going on. I need to understand it so I can start to embody it. So the next thing is recursion in the nervous system. Oh, I'll give you guys an example also. So let's say a past betrayal causes gut tension. In a new relationship, a minor distrust of, let's say, a dynamic that you're in with your inside of this new relationship triggers, let's say, nausea. Even if it's locally, like in the body, the context is triggering safety, non-safety. So you would then want to track that to its original origin, which is what we do in the Pattern Academy. So recursion in the nervous system, which is kind of this fourth step, looks like vagus nerve feedback. So the body's recall of trauma is a predictive error. The vagus nerve misinterprets safety as a threat based on past data. Okay. So this is again why I'm talking about trauma is something that lives in the body as a resonant frequency. So the nervous system is what I believe and what I've talked about and how I see creates the holographic energetic information exchange that you get your feedback loops from. So if you have somebody who's just has bad shit happen to them all the time, they're in a lot of distortion. That's the feedback loop. So their nervous system is creating fear, anxiety, stress, lack, control, and then they're interacting with everything that is going to challenge all of those different things. Because the highest self is like, you need to let this shit go so we can continue to have a body. Otherwise, the frequencies of this reality are getting way too clarified for this level of distortion in this particular body to be able to live in this time frame right now. You will drop the body, you will re-render in a different state of consciousness. So this is what will happen in the next 10 years, by the way. We will lose all of the boomers for the most part. And all these new babies that are coming in are bright, less dense, and it's beautiful to witness. So just a heads up. The next thing after the vagus nerve feedback, okay, the body's recall of trauma, is essentially, again, a predictive error because it misinterprets safety as a threat. And that's what we work on with this quantum psychosomatic work. The next thing is a neuroplasticity glitch. It's the best way I can describe it. The brain reinforces a loop each time it fires, okay? Error code, body not safe, shit, right? Making recursion a self-sustaining program. This is why, quite literally, we repeat what we do not complete. So how do we break the cycle, Tally? Okay, let's get into that. So quantum psychosomatic reprogramming. This is at the core of what this work is. So to collapse recursion rebound, which is essentially everything that I teach in the Pattern Academy and Healer's Hub, we talk about it there too. Very new, like a lot of topics we talk about in the Healer's Hub, getting you all prepared, okay, to become pattern beasts. And then by the time you're in HVM, it is just a very high level field of transcendence and decoding and et cetera, your identities are going to absolutely get obliterated in HVM. And then by the time you enter sovereign system mentorship, you're completely at a different level. I can move very, very quickly. I can talk very, very directly to you in a very different way. There's not as much bridge to gap. So first, you have to decode the loop. So identify first. Well, usually you're going to have a feeling or an emotion. So you're going to have a feeling, an emotion, and a trigger. You're going to be in conversation. You're going to be in interaction with people and somebody, and you will have something come up for you. You will feel something in your body, okay? That is your cue, your emotion, feeling, sensation, right? Which is what I talked about, the sensation, emotion, perception, thought, behavior, action, that acronym that I talked about, how our brain decodes information through our five senses. You're going to have a feeling and an emotion. You're going to have to recall that emotion. Like, what is this? Okay. What am I actually feeling right now? You're going to get into the pattern superhero sequence. What am I feeling? What is happening? What pattern is running? What is it affecting? What aspect of this part of my character is it affecting? What am I terrified of? What's the truth of this situation? You're going to run yourself through sequence. Okay. You're going to decode the loop. Then you're going to identify the earliest somatic imprint, okay? What's happening? What is the feeling that I'm experiencing? What side of the family did it happen on? Where did I learn this? Because you will inherit the nervous system of the parent that you contracted to. Let that sink in for you. Most of you actually are running a combination of both of them. So you'll run a nervous system at that time of performance for love, emotionally unavailable, low effort family system, emotionally unavailable archetype for the father. So I had no value system early on. And then a very, very anxious, overwhelmed, emotionally immature, maternal nervous system imprintation. So you will inherit the nervous system of the shadow of the family member that you contracted to. So your little children are essentially a combination of your shadow and your light, as we all are. This is what I talk about when we are the latest rendition of our family's lineage. We are the aggregate of all of their epigenetic data, right? So you get very curious on the emotion, you run through the pattern exercise and all the other things that I talk about. You get into the Pattern Academy, the Healers Hub, and sort it out there. Pattern Academy to become more of a pattern recognition beast, right? You start to identify what side it's on, and then you get into the earliest somatic imprintation where, let's say in your first memory, where this imprintation happened, okay? Then through frequency work, okay, you disrupt the pattern. So you move into thoughts, will, action, intention to collapse that pattern inside of the body, which disrupts the frequency and closes the recursion loop. So right when you're about ready to do the same shit that you used to do before and you check that shit, you're like, nope, I'm not even going to talk to myself like that. I'm not going to do the same thing. I'm not going to respond the same way. I'm not going to respond to that email or text. I'm not actually going to even engage in that. And you step into claiming who you are, and you have to choose yourself every time. You disrupt the frequency and you close recursion. Now, what happens when you close recursion is you off-gas. You will detox emotionally. You may have grief. You may have a lot of rage. That impulse to want to really move into that behavior that you experienced before will be very, very, very strong. But you reclaim agency in the present when you do that. So you got to anchor yourself into the body in real-time safety. You always got to come back to the body. The body, keep in mind, your spirit and your body are trying to become very symbiotic with each other. You're literally trying to run an infinity loop between your highest intelligence and your body at all times. Your body is space. Your consciousness is time, is timeless, having a time-bound experience. We cannot bypass the body. Anyone who is talking about that the body is a recursion pattern, or that we can somehow bypass it and the body's going to tell you what the mind is going to do, whatever, and you just need to think yourself into happy thoughts to heal the body, all of that is so bullshittery. I get so frustrated. It's such a diluted, small way to say that. Of course, you have to have the brain have buy-in to what you're doing. But there is all of this other mechanics as to why that is before you can just like think happy thoughts. People go into psychosis for that shit. Okay. So eventually there's going to be an agreement that's made, and you're going to play out those agreements until you become conscious of them and you claim total and complete sovereignty. So a question came in around embodiment, because moving from body-led, from being mind-led and fear-based led and reptilian-led and like really quite honestly like second dimension, third dimensional level consciousness, if you're running that much level of paranoia and your life's a dumpster fire, then there is an enormous opportunity for you to be able to reclaim who you are in this life. So this conversation came out of a Sovereign Sister mentorship client that asked me, what's the truth about embodiment? Is it a recursion? Can we bypass the body in order to awaken, essentially? Is everything a recursion pattern? In a sense, yes. Okay. Embodiment is a recursion pattern, but it is more specifically a recursion of consciousness into density. So let me break this down for you. I'm going to say that again. Embodiment is a recursion pattern, but more specifically, it is a recursion of consciousness into density. That is why we have reincarnation. The more conscious you are when you awaken, okay, in form, when you drop the form, you die awaken to eternal life. You break the reincarnation trap. You master your reality and yourself. That is ascension mastery. Okay. And then you can go and do other shit. And there's lots of other shit to do. There's avatar school. There's avatar, all kinds of avatar stuff to do after you enter into an awakened state. Okay. You can transform and manipulate matter, which very much is what I've talked about, is what a lot of the awakened avatars and previous religions have done. So let's talk about the breakdown of recursion of consciousness into density. First, recursion means the process of repeating itself or within itself, okay? So a fractal folding over and over. Embodiment is consciousness folding itself into form, sensation, and localized experience. The body is not separate. It's a nested recursion of consciousness at a particular frequency band. So matter equals slowed light. High vibration light also equals higher consciousness. So if you have light that is vibrating very, very slow, it creates matter. If you have light that oscillates incredibly quick, it literally moves into destruction entropy, which is coming back to a zero point of pure and complete and total potential. And that is where we meet ourselves at the zero point, and we move into total and complete creator, co-creation of our reality. We become a signal in our own world of chaos, and reality bends to us. It bends. That light refracts back to us, and our highest timeline is already intended. So that's what instant manifestation kind of looks like. That's what synchronicity looks like from a higher level order. That's the mechanics of it. So in the meantime, which is why manifestation actually is going to become obsolete in the new paradigm, which if you have questions about that, please let me know in the comments and I will be happy to answer them or direct you to a place where I will answer them. So you have embodiment as consciousness folding itself into form, sensation, and localized experience. Recursion, process of repeating within itself. Okay, a fractal folding over and over and over again. This is where geometry happens. So everything in the universe operates off of frequency, sound, light, vibration. It creates geometric structure. So if you think about, and that's where basically physics comes from. So if you think about animals, animals navigate through the electromagnetic field. Owls are fascinating, by the way. Their vision splits and they move into a binary sight experience, and they literally see physics and they navigate through the electromagnetic field. So it's quite fascinating when you start to see the way that nature navigates, or like, for example, elephants, they will spread the webbing between their feet and their little like elephant toes to signal where their family is using frequencies. It is wild. Okay. So let's say if I were going to draw something for you. It would be like name, arrow, name, arrow, name, arrow, name, arrow in a circle. So imagine that as I say this kind of next sequence, okay, this kind of coming in. You have consciousness that leads to self-awareness, that leads to the somaticization, which is the body, okay, integrating into physical form, feeling, perceiving, and then consciousness reflecting on itself through form and looping infinitely. So every breath, every heartbeat, every sensory impulse reaffirms recursion. That's why thoughts are important. Not because thoughts dictate how you create your reality. They are the after effect of what's running behind, underlying all of that. I always add an N in there. I'm pretty sure there's not an N in that word. Underlying, lying. That's the way to say that. Okay, so you could say embodiment is recursion with friction, a slowing down of infinite awareness into patterned experiences, pleasure, pain, limitation, expansion. So the recursion produces density, and density offers the conditions for recursion to deepen. So in short, embodiment is the fractal echo of infinite consciousness, recursively folding into density to know itself through limitation, sensation, and transformation. So with that said, let me talk about the recursion levels of embodiment. So how do we actually embody all of this information, Tally? How are we pulling this in through the body? This is why I work so much at reconditioning the nervous system, right? So the nervous system is a superhighway. This is the electricity of the body. This is how we actually maintain levels of information. So when I look at wisdom, it is embodied intelligence. And the more you do this work, the more you have access to yourself and you can sit with yourself and you are in deep resonance with yourself and you have access to infinite knowledge. The difference is your body can hold it or it can't. So very, very high vibratory light is intelligence and knowledge, case information. And why I focus so much on the body is your body has to be able to hold it. And your nervous system has to be able to hold that level of information without it blowing you out. And everybody is at different levels of that. So embodiment as a recursion is answering the question, is becoming more body-led a recursion itself? And yes, but it's more detailed than that. So the first step to all of this is pure consciousness. Okay, I'm going to go back and kind of paint a picture of how your consciousness is brought into creation. So first you have pure consciousness, which is infinite, formless, non-local awareness. There's no self. There's only pure being. Okay, that recurses into the awareness of awareness. So you have source, pure source consciousness, infinite, formless, non-local awareness. There's no self. In the beginning, it differentiates, okay, it recurses to know itself. I am, what am I? And then the answer of that question is information cycling through learning on itself, the universe learning on itself, awareness becoming aware of itself. That recurses from pure consciousness. You have heard me say that this is individuated consciousness. Okay, it's the emergence of self perceiving itself. So there's the light body, there's the subtle template, etc. So here we have the emergence of self from pure consciousness. It's a derived, individuated consciousness that recurses. Again, you have the desire for experience. This is where we want to have a body because we experience things. So that desire to experience itself in form, that creates a recursion, okay? That recursion leads to an energetic field. This is the blueprint layer. This is the formation of frequency, patterns, emotions, archetypes, energetic signatures. It is the bioenergetic matrix before physicalization. This is where I work. I work here. And I move into origin and move all the way up to pure consciousness to orient, clear, and maintain my level of signal through my highest self and through my origin consciousness. But most people don't know how to work at this layer, the blueprint layer, the formation of frequency patterns, okay? Not working on the subtle body, not doing Reiki, not doing any of that. Some people will code this particular incarnation, okay, and bend reality in this particular incarnation, but if you're not informing or being informed by all of the incarnations and the origin of all of these formation and frequency patterns, then you're literally cutting off a weed. You know what I mean? You're not actually killing the weed. So then that recurses again. Once you have all of that, that individuated consciousness and the desire for experience has to create a geometric structure to be able to hold form. That's what an energetic blueprint is. So then that recurses again. Your energetic field recurses again, and then it's condensation into density. This is where we get the somatic form. This is the body. Consciousness, let's say, densifies into cellular structure, nervous system, organs, sensation, breath, blood, which is animated by the blueprint. Let me say that again. Once we recurse from our blueprint layer, we get a somatic form. So consciousness moves into density. It densifies itself into all these into systems, cellular structure, nervous system, your brain systems, all of your organs, breath, blood, and all of the sensations in the bodies, which then gets animated by your blueprint. That then recurses again into localized perception. This is the sensory experience, the physical world interpreted through the five senses: pleasure, pain, touch, vision, movement, sound, okay, etc. That recurses again into meaning making, okay, the identity construction. So here's where a lot of people are working too. They might be working on the identity construction, which is super, super surface level too. I mean, you're going to only chip away at the brain so much. It's like chatting with a really low level version of, like, a Temu version of ChatGPT. Okay. So when you're like meaning like psychology and psychoanalysis and stuff, that's only going to get you so far. So, I mean, those modalities are perfect. They're wonderful. I love that. And also, you just really want to transcend that stuff. You're not going to get into epigenetic deeper layers if, I'll say they're perfectly constructed to maintain the level that they're trying to maintain, but you're not going to get into the deeper layers unless you're working at the blueprint level. So then you recurse from meaning making, the sensory experience, into a identity construction: stories, memories, psychological patterning. I am this, I am that. People really hold on to that identity. They try to really, I've done this my whole life. I am a caretaker of my family. I'm a doctor. I'm a this, I'm a that. Okay. And they stay there instead of literally dying off identities, which is what most people in New Age are talking about, an identity death. And they think they just do it once. And I was like, oh, no. You are creating every single thought in behavior, action is creating, let's say, a cookie on a website, and that these cookies inform and create an entire cache, which is all of your browsing data, all of your history, and then little things that you have wanted to, let's say, be perceived as, get collated onto all of the websites that you've been visiting, and then everybody who's been visiting your website. All right, I'm trying to really work this metaphor out right now. Your identities are essentially filters that you create or other people create for you and that you hold for them. So unless you're consciously clearing out and being willing to die off identity and clearing your cache out, you're going to hold a lot of data that isn't yours until you don't do it anymore. You can't hold you as a timeless being in a time-bound body and then everybody else around you at the same time. That is going to completely you're going to implode. And then the body, which is basically the map helping you navigate this reality until you learn how to work in conjunction with it, is going to tap out. So that's why I was like, we must face ourselves in this life. You will die a slow, painful, unawakened death if you don't. And or you will have to sit with yourself and you have the opportunity to really transcend it all. So after identity construction, where self-image is formed from sensory and social feedback loops, which is why you're constantly trying to die off all these filters of identity to see yourself more clearly. So anyone asked me what I do, I was like, well, the moment I give it a name, I'm already kind of lowering the frequency of it, but I get it. I'll play the game for a little bit, which is deep state self-reflection. That recurses again into conscious evolution. the recognizing of patterns of embodiment, choosing to repattern, expand, liberate, move into remastery. And then that recurses again to reascension. So it is a top-down model, and then you essentially recurse that, or you flip that from the inversion and you start moving from conscious evolution up. And you have people creating, so you awaken, you recode, you repattern, you close recursion, and then you construct your identity from there. And then you experience the world from an awakened state. And then you have a body that paces with you. And you have a blueprint that's living from pure source. And your individuated consciousness is what you're connected to through your highest self that is infinitely in a feedback loop with pure source, which sounds fucking awesome, right? So embodiment is not a one-time event. It's a living, breathing, recursive loop. You are re-embodying yourself moment to moment, depending on your level of awareness, patterns, and choice to either deepen or to liberate. So that leads me to my second question. Is everything recursion that collapses and restructures? Essentially, yes. But at its most fundamental level, existence equals recursive self-referencing. So consciousness continuously folds into itself to perceive experience, collapse into form, and restructure after experience. That's what I talk about when I talk about destruction entropy. It essentially restructures, it collapses into form, and then restructures into potentia after experience. So the collapse is the solidification, density, trauma, identity formation. The restructure is the evolution, liberation, reintegration, ascension. Everything alive is looping, folding, patterning itself constantly. Even death is a recursive event, which is what I've said before about reincarnation. It collapses, it's the collapsing of one structure and then the restructuring into another. Energy never ends, it reorganizes. So, what we're trying to do is have more choice in the reincarnation path. We want to essentially die awakened, right? Move into eternal life as an awakened consciousness and have a hell of a lot more choice. So I'm going to talk briefly about the reason why embodiment is so important is because we run a human template. We don't run a template of non-form consciousness. Okay. A tree has a template. A wolf has a template. Everything in this existence, in this reality that you can see and not see, has a IP address and a template that it runs. Because how smart is that, right? How can you identify each other reading a different set of energy? Some animals perceive light. They can see at night. Okay. And so how are they perceiving energy? They're scanning you. They're scanning your field and they're seeing if you're a threat. So we have human templates, and it's something that we agree to when we come here because it's how our consciousness is going to project itself into form. It has to have a human template. Otherwise, we would project ourselves, you know, half unicorn, half man, whatever, right? We can't do that yet. So, I mean, we're trying to. They're really trying to Frankenstein that shit. But this is what I'm saying. Like, we have human templates. You can't bypass the body. I don't even know why you'd want to. It is part of Earth. She creates form. Like, you're basically disrespecting yourself. So that's why we have genders. We have human templates. We have ethnic identifications. It's how we can navigate this reality based on the things that we came here to learn and the patterns and the recursions that we came here to collapse and move through. So the importance, there is an important nuance though of variation of running a human template. So it's essentially a human template is, first, let me just define this. A human template is a specific fractal pattern within the greater recursion of what this matrix is, okay? The human template is a preset of recursion architecture. It's a certain bandwidth of sensation, memory, ego formation, linear time perception, vulnerability to forgetting, okay? We agree to have an amnesia veil. We totally agree to forget everything. And another very clear and key distinction here is we are bound into DNA, mitochondria, and electromagnetic fields. Human Template is a preset of recursion architecture. It is, it has certain bandwidths of sensation, or let's say presets, okay? It has presets of bandwidths of sensation, memory, ego formation, linear time perception, vulnerability to forgetting. We agree to have the amniotic veil, if you will. We are also bound to DNA, mitochondria, and electromagnetic fields. These are part of the conditions that we agree to, okay? Someone running a human template is still participating in the grand recursion, but through a narrower set of structural parameters, meaning there's limited senses compared to multidimensional templates. We have a birth-death cycle, which is perceived as linear. We have slower feedback loops for cause and effect, karma, for example. We have a nervous system designed for survival first, transcendent second. Thus, embodiment is a localized recursion inside the larger infinite recursion. So it's a localized feedback loop inside of a very large system that's learning on within itself. So the collapse and restructure happens at a much slower, denser cycle. So this is evolution over generations. This is hundreds of thousands of years of evolution because of how slow and dense this reality is. It's not instantaneous like higher order consciousness is. That's why this reality is so frustrating and people tap out. It is dense and it is slow. So humans recursively embody through specific geometry, memory, and energetic distortions of the human experience itself. So when you come here, not only do you run the human template, but then you run a template of female, right? You run a template of gender. Then you run a template of ethnic, right? How you, where your origin, right? Your origin bloodline. And that's going to be bloodline, cultural impressions, etc. Then you're going to run the template of all woman or all man, okay, or all elephant or all everything. So it is like, that's why these patterns are so crazy and why I do a lot of work behind the scenes, which I'll make another podcast on, of what I do with the collective and also with Earth, because it's a lot, right? How do you know? Like, how do you know what your pattern is versus like what your familial pattern is or what you're actually running for the collective? And it's all of it. And so the idea is to kind of chip away at these different layers and get really, really nuanced until you've created so much mass or torque that all of that stuff just collapses without you even having to do any work. And you will get there. Trust me. Moment you think about something, the moment you think about a pattern, that pattern is already starting to recurse on itself. And then you kind of have to sit with a little bit of that discharge off-gassing. It's kind of like a recovery time from a surgery. And then you move right into resequencing yourself in the highest timeline, like immediately. So you run the latest aggregate of your family lineage. You run the latest aggregate of the gender you're running. And you run the latest aggregate of the collective template of woman, or the collective template of culture. So that's why sometimes a lot of that shit isn't you. Like none of it is really you. It's just what you've actually given your attention to recurse again, right? I'm going to repeat that. Or what you've chosen to, let's say, liberate yourself from. So you have infinite recursion, which is consciousness folding. Then you have a specific template, human architecture, animal architecture, insect architecture, reptilian architecture, whatever. And then you have individual embodiment, you as a localized recursion of that template. So not all consciousness collapses at the same speed of density. That's why everyone's at different levels, okay? The human template itself is very similar to a gravity well of recursion. So it's designed for deep entanglement and the art of remembering. That's why this school, this Earth school, is so high level. It is crazy. It's crazy. So higher templates, so let's say non-human or upgraded humans, right? This is the real 1%, experience recursion with less collapse and faster restructure. It's quantum embodiment, essentially. And these also get very nuanced too, because human template, the moment you move into higher level orders, will be a recursion, will recurse differently if you have very specific star templates or solar templates. So once you move more into your original blueprint and you're operating off of your code, your like authentic coding, you have a very completely, you have a completely different way that you create fields and how you reorganize your information, basically how you repixelate. So how fast you clear patterns and then how quickly you move into neutrality, how amplified you are in life, how much light you hold, you know, moving through a deeper state of shadow. So that is like probably for a whole other lecture, and I will likely cover that in HVM and Pattern Academy. So let's see where we are. It's a lot. This is a very high level conversation, you guys. So if I lost you, awesome. If you stayed on board going, I don't even know what the hell she's saying, but I'm going to re-listen to this shit again, again, and again, and again. Also awesome. And I will definitely be talking more about this. If you liked this, please let me know in the comments, ask some questions, get connected, drop into a group, take control of your life. And I swear, even despite all of the crazy shit going on in the world, it is a tremendous, tremendous time to be alive. And the peace that is available within your nervous system, once you really start to get a hold of the mechanics of what this information is, will set you free and blow your mind more than you can even possibly know. All right, you guys, biggest love to you. I will speak to you when I speak to you next. Take care.